This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Thanks to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it all. Also, breaking ground on NIL, they've got some of the biggest names in college sports. They had Caitlin Clark in there, Angel Reese, and a lot of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round draft picks. And if you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. And the best trading card brands, Prism, Select, Donruss, and so many more. And for those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Moonshine available tomorrow at this time, 11 a.m. Eastern. Tailgate Moonshine. We have Azalea. That's the new flavor. It tastes great. We also have limited supplies of salted caramel and cinnamon apple. They're available first come, first serve. Limited quantities here, as you know. But 11 a.m. Eastern, available at danpatrick.com. We'll get to phone calls coming up. We talked to Mike Tirico at Augusta, and he said there's not a lot of tension or friction. He doesn't feel the PGA Tour versus the LIV Tour. It just feels like there's an undercurrent there. But also, this is not the tournament that you go to and you're thinking about other things other than winning the green jacket, in fairness to these players, that they could put their battles aside or tension aside, grudges aside, and go out there and play. Because if not, you get humbled there at Augusta. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. Say good morning if you're watching on Peacock. That's our streaming partner. Download the app. It's unofficial. All precincts aren't in yet, but Joel Embiid won the MVP last night, or made sure that he won the MVP, put up 52 on the Celtics. And I think he is now comfortably ahead as your MVP this year. Voting is still going on. In fact, the NBA will send out an email to remind you, hey, and they did this yesterday where they sent it out an email and they're like, all right, hey, make sure you're going to vote. And so you got a few more days, but Joel Embiid put 52 on the Celtics last night. Lakers closing in on the Clippers. You got the showdown between those two. And if you're a Laker fan, if you can somehow get into that sixth seed and you end up playing Sacramento, and that would be your first-round opponent, I'm sure the Lakers, with their firepower but also playing great defense, going against Sacramento, and Sacramento has a lot of firepower. I mean, historically, the best offensive team in NBA history, but also one of the worst defensive players in defensive teams in NBA history. Poll question for the final hour is going to be what, Seton?
Dan, let me look at this. I was going to throw up. Winning the Masters this year would be bigger for Rory McIlroy or Tiger Woods?
Well, it'd be the career Grand Slam for Rory, but if Tiger did this at this age,
yeah,
this condition, we feel, you know, Rory's got more years to be able to do this.
But it's still, that's a major, no pun intended, yes. That's a big one for him.
I would still say if Tiger were, I mean, Tiger's odds are really long. Like, Rory's aren't long. He's got the second best odds to win.
That's got to be more important for Rory. No?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think Tiger goes, I got enough majors that I'm full. I don't need any more. But Rory needs this to complete the Grand Slam. Is Sharif Abdul-Rahim set to join us?
Sure is.
Oh, well, let me give you the official introduction. The president of the NBA G League, former associate vice president of operations with the NBA, played 12 seasons in the NBA, former Kings assistant GM, assistant coach. And I got to do, I think, most of the highlights of your career on SportsCenter because it was never Abdul-Rahim. It was Sharif Abdul-Rahim and had a great career there. Good to talk to you. How are you, Sharif? You might be on mute.
I'm doing well.
There you go.
You know, once a week you do that on Zoom. So one of the features. But I'm doing well, man. How about you?
I'm doing great. How about your Sacramento Kings? Did you take any pride in them making the playoffs this year?
It's really cool. You know, I was, I guess I was on that team that last made the playoffs. We lost to San Antonio in six. And Sacramento is a great town, great fans, great people. They deserve to have a good team. It was one of the really fun places that I lived and played. You know, my family, we lived there for almost 12 years. So I'm just ecstatic. You know, ownership has done so well there in, you know, keeping the team there, investing in the team, investing in the city. So it's just, I mean, it's a great NBA story this year. You know, how the season they've had, they started fast and been able to keep it going. I'm really excited. And I think, unlike a lot of people, I think that they can get in the playoffs and, like, actually make some noise. Like, I think they're not going to be pushovers.
Well, they can score. They can't play any defense.
Yeah, but I don't know how many teams are playing defense.
Well, the Lakers are playing some pretty good defense.
Yeah, I mean, you see what LeBron is doing. Like, it's amazing. Like, the game he had, I caught the clips during our first round game in the G League, and it's, like, amazing at, you know, 38, 39, 40, whatever he is, what he's doing is unbelievable. So, it should be fun. The Lakers are going to be tough, but again, I think the Kings are a great story this year.
All right. You played against early LeBron, late Michael, prime Kobe.
Yeah, Kobe, same draft, same era. Michael, older, obviously, and then early years as well.
What did you – okay, let's start with LeBron. You first saw him, and your thought was what?
It's not possible that he's 18 years old. There's no way he's 18 years old. He's a grown – like, I mean, at 18, he's like, you know, 6'8", 250. Like, it's impossible. So, just, you know, kind of you were building a basketball player – you know, I think people had said, like, if you built a basketball player, it'd be this guy. Like, if you built a basketball player, it'd be LeBron. You know, that's, you know, just first thoughts.
Kobe, when you first met him?
I've known Kobe since we were 16, 17 years old. So, you know, it wasn't, you know, like Kobe, you know, he went from being like jelly beans, his dad played in the NBA, son, to, like, you know, his own deal. And, you know, always, you know, talented, always, you know, like, focused, but, you know, he turned into, you know, something, you know, iconic and, you know, probably top, you know, whatever player of all time. Yeah.
You got a story about Kobe? I mean, since you guys went.
My best story of Kobe is, I think, a really innocent story. It's like being, you know, I'm a year older. So being, you know, 18, him probably 16 or 17, and being at ABCD camp and T-Mac, and you know, at that time there was no cell phones, and the way you, like, talk to your parents was, like, waiting online at the payphone. And I could remember, like, I had a good day at camp, he had a great day at camp, and him being ahead of me online and him talking to his parents, it had to be, you know, Jelly Bean and Pam, and him telling them, you know, stuff he was doing, a dunk on the guy and everything that day, and him telling them this, and I'm like, I'm behind him, like, man, come on, man, get off the floor. I want to call my mom, right? And like that's the, you know, again, like that's like the most innocent story. That's the best story. I mean, all the, you know, game winners and trash talk and like great performances, you know, it's a bunch of those, but those, that's the one that kind of sticks with me because it was like, it was, you know, I had a great day at camp. I want to go tell my dad.
Yeah. You know. And then you listen to Kobe's great day at camp, and it, that's why the phone call is taking so long. Like, he, you know, he's going to tell everything that he did in camp. We're talking to Sharif Abdur-Rahim. Then you got Mike at the end of his career.
Yeah. I mean, Mike was in the Bulls. It was like just precision, you know, it was like clockwork, everything with him. For me at that point, I didn't see, you know, progression or early days. I didn't see the growth, but I just caught him. It was like, you know, this is, you can see him like turn on a clock, and, you know, when it was time to go, he went, and he was just a monster. Like, you know, I caught him. It was like, you know, fourth or fifth championship already. And, you know, when they came to town, it was like the Beatles, and, you know, they mess around with you for a couple of quarters, and they, you know, really like make you think you had a chance. And then at some point, you know, like Phil called the timeout, and, you know, it was like, okay, for like 9 minutes, it was like, okay, now it's over. And what happened? And then, but I also caught him. I played against him later when he came back in Washington, and he was still, you know, great, but probably a little more vulnerable then. And, you know, you had a chance against him then. But, you know, Chicago Michael Vitale is what I remember.
You're president of the NBA G League. Does the G League recruit? Can you recruit high school players?
Well, we do, I would say educate. You know, we have the option for the G League Ignite team. You know, past years, guys like Jalen Green was with us and Jonathan Kuminga. This year, Scoot Henderson is, you know, one of our guys playing in the G League with us, and he'll go on and be drafted this year. So I'd say we probably more educate than recruit, and it's, you know, just an option that we wanted to provide for really top high school players. I say top players around the world. We, you know, this year we have a young man, Sidy Cissoko from France. We have London Johnson, who has international background, Babacar Sine from Senegal. So it's become a world team, but I'd say, Dan, probably more we educate them and just try to share the option that we have as a place for young kids to develop.
Well, what's the benefit of going to the G League over, let's say, LeBron's son, G League or 1 year in college? What would you recommend?
I think it's individual. I think it's personal. I think it's, you know, where the focus of the young man, the guys that have come to the G League, what I picked up is in their mind, they're professionals. They want to, you know, kind of live a professional life, focus on developing and preparing for the NBA. We still provide them a scholarship or tuition to college, and they start taking some classes. But the main focus is like integrating into the NBA. And NBA life, they play the full G League season. So, you know, Scoot Henderson this year, he lined up against, you know, a Ty Washington from, you know, the Rockets, who would be on assignment, or Kennedy Chandler from Memphis. So he's actually playing against, you know, Chris Dunn. He's playing against, you know, NBA players. So you get that, you know, you get that experience. Whereas, you know, he goes in next year, obviously it's a learning curve, but, you know, he's had those experiences already of playing against professionals.
But you spent 1 year at Cal, but could you have come out of high school and gone right to the NBA?
It's so different. Like Garnett did it our high school years, like same high school class Kevin was. And, you know, it was just so far away at that time, Dan. You know, like I'd never, you know, in high school, I didn't play against NBA players. I only played against a few college players and other high school players. You know, you didn't see all the games. I just think the proximity now makes the kids feel as though they're right there and they can do it. They play pickup in the summer and they like know these guys. I just, for me, maturity wise, mentally, I didn't think I could make the jump. Whereas like when I saw Kevin do it, I was like, oh, wow. Like, you know, I just played against him. I was like, maybe I could have. But it was just so, you know, the proximity wasn't there. It didn't feel as close. You weren't as connected to it. But I mean, these guys now, I mean, you know, all the training and, you know, playing against other NBA guys, like they can, you know, Rod Strickland was the one I was doubtful of playing him in a complete G League season when we first started. And Rod Strickland, you know, he was with us at the time. He's gone on now to be the head coach at LIU Brooklyn. And he said to me, like, no, he's like, they could do it. You know, he's like, they're good enough. And, you know, he was right.
How surprised were you that the NBA is going to, you know, keep the one and done? I thought that we were moving towards letting, you know, these guys come out of high school and go right to the NBA.
Yeah, you know, like, I've been a part of it now on both sides, like being a player and, you know, now working at the league office. You know, those things are, a lot of times when we have these conversations, it's fluid, right? And, you know, you get into it and, you know, sometimes you come out in a different place. I think also from one thing that's interesting is when we first started talking about ending one and done, or, you know, changing the age limit, that the landscape is totally different, right? Like, at the time, you didn't have NIL, you didn't have the transfer portal. I think a lot of the movement was like, okay, it's fair for young kids. You didn't have a G League that allowed them. I think a lot of it was like, it's fair that young kids should be able to go earn a living. I think you can, you know, you see it now with some of the college kids going back to school, some coming to G League. They have those options. So maybe it's not the same, you know, momentum as it was in the beginning.
Did you ever see a grizzly when you were in Vancouver?
I never saw a grizzly.
Yeah, I didn't think you did.
I don't know why the grizzly. That's a good question.
I like the uniforms, though.
Yeah, the new ones are ours.
You, the Vancouver Grizzlies.
Yeah, you know, I tell people, and they become really popular. Like those teal ones, we hated the teal ones. Like we hated the ones that are really popular now, like that teal. We didn't like wearing those. Maybe my second or third year, they made us like an alternate robes. It was a black one that said Vancouver, and we always asked, like, pack those and. Our equipment guy, he's like, well, they make me, you know, you got to wear these teal ones so many times. And we're like, okay, don't, you know, when we go to New York, when we go play in the garden, we don't want to wear those. Put on.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's like, where it was the Hornets had teal. Like, teal became a big color there for a while.
Yeah. But I mean, somebody, whoever was like doing the marketing and brand, they had it right, because it's like, I see people, they sell like crazy even still. So,
well, we always love the throwback, the retro. We don't like it in the moment, but then after the fact, we look back and like, those are dope, man.
Yeah, my son, he loves them. Like, he's like, man, these are like, you got any laying around? I was like, you know, something like that. I said, man, we really did not like those uniforms.
Do you have a big country story?
My fondest memories of country is getting them out of Gans in the summer, having them come to Atlanta, where I'm from, and hang out with me, and like meet my family, and, you know, where he was from. I mean, it's like, I'm exaggerating, but it's like 500 people in his town, and him coming and actually being in Atlanta and having fun and walking around, you know, like country. he actually dipped, like, you know, like, you know, like tobacco, you like, yeah, dipped, you know, regularly. And I never, you know, I'm from Georgia, so I had like family from, you know, a more rural part of Georgia that did it, but I never saw a basketball player dip. So that was always, you know, interesting to me. Like, as soon as he got off the court, he'd go get his can, and he'd like spitting in his can. I'm like, man, what are you doing?
He wasn't dipping during games, was he?
No, he didn't dip during the game.
Oh, okay.
He took it out before the game.
Great to talk to you, Sharif. Hope you're doing well, and congrats on the G League.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to see you there.
Sharif Abdur-Rahim, president of the G League. Every one of his highlights. They would give me Vancouver Grizzly highlights because they know that I just love watching Sharif Abdur-Rahim and love saying his name. And then later it became Craig Kilborn would have a take off the Clash that Sharif don't like it, or you know, Rock the Casbah. I think it was Kilby who did that. All right, let me take a break. We'll get to phone calls, and I don't know what else we have here. We'll figure it out here. We're back after this on the Dan Patrick Show. TireRack.com/Dan. Tell them what you drive, how you drive, where you drive, and they have the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Personalized tire recommendation. Going to get it in probably 2 minutes. Yes. Personalized. Right for you. And they sell only the best. They got the Pirelli tires, ship fast and free, and they have around 10,000 around 10,000 recommended installers. So you can find one of over 10,000. And you can also get mobile tire installation available in a lot of areas. New tires brought to your home or office, and they install them on site. It takes them about an hour to do so. Go to TireRack.com/Dan, and you'll see the Pirelli test results, special offers that they have. And they have a test track there at the headquarters, TireRack.com. And if you're shopping for tires, there's only one place to go. It's quick, convenient, and unbelievably friendly people to help you. TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com is the way tire buying should be. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there. Put on your game face. Download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth, with NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
What's the reasoning behind this one, Marv?
It's another song I'm sick of.
Now, this started where we know there's going to be the over coverage of Caitlin Clark next year. And it's like when you like a song and then they play it too often. That's the genesis behind this.
Right. It becomes, man, you got to listen to this song. And then it's too much, and you're like, oh, man, I really wish they would stop playing this song all the time. Mm-hmm. I think that's what Caitlin Clark was. You got to watch her. You got to watch her. Now there's too much of her.
It's not her fault.
Right, correct.
She's not overrated. She'll be overcovered.
Correct.
Okay. The Premier League on NBC, streaming on Peacock. The title race continues. Manchester City, they're putting the pressure on a team trying to stay out of relegation, Southampton. That's 12:30 Eastern on NBC and streaming on Peacock. A couple of phone calls. Barry in Santa Fe is back. Hi, Barry. What's on your mind?
Good morning, fellas. Good morning, Chat Row. And I'd like to wish everybody, especially Dan and Fritzy, a happy Pesach, which for you, Goyim, is Passover.
Of course.
May your year be filled with nachas and kvelling. And also, suck it, Packers. Let's go already.
All right. Thank you, Barry. I don't know why that came in. Did he say, oh, the Jets? Because
he's a
the
Jets
Packers.
Fan.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Thank you, Barry. Yeah. Packers. Now, I guess there's, I don't know if it's a report or an opinion, but maybe the Niners would be interested in Aaron Rodgers if the Jets can't come up with a deal with the Packers. Wake me when it's over. It feels like we're going to get to the draft, and then it's finally going to be, you know, the Packers. And you know, I brought this up at the time. When this first happened, I said, you know, the Jets are all in, slobbering all over Aaron Rodgers. And I go, the Packers got some leverage here. They don't want him back, but they know that you really want him. Now what are you going to get in return for him? And if you're San Francisco, now if I'm Green Bay, there's no way that I'm trading Aaron Rodgers to San Francisco. I'm not going to allow him to stay in the NFC. He's going to the AFC. Somehow, some way, even if we have to lower what our demand is. Yes, Paul?
So the 49ers Rodgers air quote story was floated out there by Craig Carton, the radio host. And he said the 49ers could be ready to pounce if the Jets fall through. It's very unclear whether he's reporting it or is his opinion.
Hmm.
But once it happened, I could find you 20 other headlines that say, report, 49ers looking at Aaron Rodgers, 49ers engaged in Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I don't know if Craig has an opinion or, you know, it's an informed opinion or a source there. But I think just how it's framed, it felt like, hey, this could happen. Okay. It could happen. Or he could stay in Green Bay. I guess that could happen. Or he could go to the Jets. And then you have the Mac Jones situation where Mike Florio says that Belichick is shopping Mac Jones. And did so in the offseason to multiple teams. Now, that's a report because Florio then goes on to say the full list of potential destinations isn't known, but the teams mentioned are the Raiders, Texans, Buccaneers, and Commanders. Okay. Jimmy Garoppolo, the Raiders already got Jimmy Garoppolo. Well, they want Mac Jones there? Jones has 2 years left under the rookie deal and before the fifth-year option would apply. Do you want Mac Jones? Has Bill Belichick done Mac Jones dirty here? Didn't surround him with anything. You had a defensive coordinator as your offensive coordinator this past season. That didn't go well. And now you want to put him out to pasture here. Yeah, Paul.
If you wanted to trade for Mac Jones, he'd be going into year three. You would have to pay him $2 million this year and 2.7. That's as low as it gets for a possible starting quarterback who's completely under contract for you. So if someone wanted to take a chance on him, you don't have to give up much financially.
Now, Florio says the Raiders are the ones to keep watching. Jimmy Garoppolo's contract lands at the low end of middle class for starters, and Jones has 2 years left.
All right.
What are you giving up? Is Belichick going to help out Josh McDaniels here? Yes, see.
I don't even know why you would have to get rid of him. Keep him as a backup for $2 million
a year. Wait, you're keeping Garoppolo?
Keep Mac Jones, I'm saying.
As a backup where?
Keep him in New England, right?
Oh, I don't think that'd go well.
Maybe not, but what are you going to do? What's his real trade value?
I don't think you're going to get a first-round pick for him. And yeah. You spent, the 15th pick in the draft a couple of years ago. And is Bailey Zappi going to be your quarterback? Or would the Patriots, if I'm a Patriot fan and you go, wait, what are we doing? And then if the game plan is, we're going to do this, maybe get a pick that we can use to send to the Ravens, and then maybe we sign Lamar Jackson. And if you're Bill Belichick, how long do you want to continue coaching when your team is going to be the fourth best team in that division? You don't have a quarterback. And if Rodgers goes to the Jets, Josh Allen's still in Buffalo. Now, you can say Tua is the starter right now, but those teams are better than your teams. And what is he, 70 years of age? You know, do you want to coach five more years? And if so, would you like to coach Lamar Jackson? Boy, that would revitalize him, reinvigorate a Pats offense. And you get him right now. If not, I wonder, how much longer do you want to be 9-8, 8-9? Because I don't see it, you know, the ceiling isn't too high. The floor is a little bit lower than it used to be. Yeah, Paul.
I saw a bunch of stories saying Seattle may take Anthony Richardson out of Florida, who is a development project, according to all reports. That's the same thing I was wondering. If you're Pete Carroll, now you have Geno Smith now, you're also going to think about developing a quarterback? Or?
Yeah, but he needs to be developed.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense there because Geno is a short-term prospect.
Yeah, and I would say to Geno, hey, you're going to get 2 years here as the starter. But, you know, if you play well, you keep him on the bench. And if not, he's going to be our eventual star. I could see something like that happening. You know, the reaction on Anthony Richardson is remarkable. Just off of pro day, remarkable. And talking to a source about this, I said, what about the games? Like watching the games. And they said, you know, my source said there's such a hit or miss feeling to him. He's a home run strikeout type quarterback right now. But if you get the right person, right quarterback coach with him or the right offense with him, then maybe you can capitalize on him. Maybe you could have him in an offense that, you know, featured Cam Newton, that style of offense there. Because he's as good, if not better, athlete than Cam Newton, according to my source. Yeah, Paul.
I see you mentioned Cam Newton. There's a lot of stories out there that try to compare him to Cam Newton, and his production is even close. Even the 1 year, Anthony Richardson had 2,500 passing yards, 17 touchdowns, and 9 picks. That's really nothing special.
No.
Cam Newton had 3,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 7 picks. Oh, by the way, he ran for 1,500 yards to lead the SEC in rushing.
Well, you watch these players, and this is where I would always caution these GMs, not that they want to listen to me, but they should. This guy played 1 year. Zach Wilson played 1 year. I need more than that. Like, give me at least 2 years to work on here. Because I might see something, you know, 1 year with Sam Darnold and then see something the next year, or something with Will Levis 1 year and then the next year. And I know a lot of this depends on what's the supporting cast, because Josh Allen at Wyoming didn't have much of a supporting cast. Jordan Love, 1 year did, 1 year didn't. And then all of a sudden you're like, I don't know how good he is, but at least I had 2 years of a sample size. When you have one, man, I get nervous. Who is it? Willis, Malik Willis. I got 1 year, right? I mean, I go back to when the Bengals took Akili Smith out of Oregon. It's 1 year. I got to have more than that because I need to see the highs and lows. You, if you're going to play and you're going to play at a high level for a good team, how good are you when you need to be great? Or, you know, you throw an interception, what happens? Your team's down. You know, can you lead comebacks? You know, how much adversity did Zach Wilson face at BYU? What, one game against Coastal Carolina? And that was it. Coastal Carolina. And then you're going into the NFL? And Trey Lance, how much adversity did you face? Zero? Yeah, Paul.
I was going back and look at Cam Newton's college stats. He could have won the Heisman without throwing a pass. He led the SEC, at quarterbacks running the ball, at running backs running the ball. He ran for 1,500 yards. Second was Nile Davis and Marcus Lattimore. So he could have won the Heisman if he threw no passes at Auburn. And then he also threw for 30.
Yeah, but Manziel led the SEC in rushing as well.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, that's high-end stuff.
Yeah. Once again, Manziel had one of the great seasons in college football history. It didn't quite work out for him. And I don't know, you know, watching Cam, he just never got better as a passer, it felt like. I think Steve Smith saved him his rookie year. Steve was great, and I think Cam threw for 4,000 yards. But, you know, Will Levis, he's not a finished product, but then they're already talking about his delivery. Did you see the pictures of him, the before and after pictures? And then one NFL executive said that the Kentucky quarterback was a narcissist because he was posting photos of how he looked in his body before and then after, and he was labeled a narcissist because he was posting pictures of, hey, look at my body.
And that's a negative, right?
Right.
I guess it is. It just feels like that's what everybody does now. Like, here's a picture of me. This is the way I used to look. And Will Levis did it, and that was a negative there. Yes, yes, Marv.
Look, if this was 1986, Fritzy would have had his shirt off taking photos all over the gram. Look, if I looked like that for one day, I'd walk around with no shirt. Marvin, Merry Christmas. Oh, Merry Christmas to you too. But yeah. Put a shirt on. Nah.
Yeah. That's cold out. Nah, not that cold. No. It's always beach weather. Yeah, Paul.
I just looked it up. Will Levis's last two games at Kentucky, he played without a jersey on.
No,
that is me first.
Come on.
That is
a narcissist.
I got the video.
Yeah. But how about if he looked one way, like really jacked, and then he was, you know, really skinny, and he posted that? Would he be a narcissist if he did it the other way? If he was losing weight, losing muscle? He makes me nervous, though. Mel Kiper loves him, and I certainly respect Mel, but I just didn't see it with Will Levis. And, you know, people will say, well, he played at Kentucky. Okay, can we make up our mind? Is Kentucky a football school? Because they said they were. But then they're not really. He's got talent, but you know, it just feels like it makes me nervous. You're going to go, hey, I'm going to take him, you know, for the Colts are going to take him, you know? Yeah, Marv.
Yeah, I wouldn't say football school. Doesn't the coach get a bonus for, like, winning seven games? I wouldn't call that a football school exactly.
Yeah.
Will Levis is Jack, though. Back to you.
Yeah, thank you, Marv. Yeah, Paul.
I look at these Will Levis's before and after pictures from 3 months ago. There's a lot of lighting involved. I mean, he was already jacked. It wasn't like he looked like me in December and all of a sudden is an Adonis.
There's no Photoshop and no Kardashian.
No, he's
stuff
in this
going
room,
on.
He's in this room where there's no top light. It's that kind of ambient light of the room, and you're like, oh, he's jacked. And this other room, there's like three different lights. It's like a Beyonce video, and you could see all his muscles.
It's like you had mood lighting here. Okay, would that be a negative? If you're an NFL coach or GM and you saw that, Fritzy, would that be a negative? You post photos of your body.
I don't love it, but I don't see why that would be the difference. If you're that on the fence and that's going to decide whether you take this guy or not, then you can't take him if that's going to be.
Seton, what about you?
Nah.
No problem with it?
No, of course not.
Marv?
None.
All right, Paulie?
I don't have a problem with him posting it. I don't want a jacked quarterback on my team. It doesn't help me at all win football games. I'd actually prefer someone who's in casual shape.
Okay, but then we look at Bryce Young, and all we keep hearing is he's so small, and you know, that, and that's a negative.
Yeah, I don't think being jacked makes you less susceptible to injury. I know you're bigger, but you know Ben Roethlisberger was a big guy, and I know he wasn't jacked, but like he was big.
Yes, Ton.
Is Bryce Young, should he be taking pictures of himself reaching the top shelf at the supermarket? Look, I can reach the cookie jar.
I'm good. With the height there. Okay. Jay in Rochester. Hi, Jay. What's on your mind today?
Hey now, guys. 5'7", one soft 175.
So.
There it is. So, Embiid is definitely the MVP in the Eastern Conference and for Philly. But as we all know, Larry was the last guy to get three straight. And Jokic is basically doing what Larry did. Besides, he hasn't won an NBA championship yet, averaging 25, 10, and 9.5. His entire team is always involved. They're first place in the Western Conference, basically the NBA. And when they win by 8 to 10 points. You know, they're beating teams up pretty good. And Jokic is basically commanding a really good basketball team because they're all good because of him.
Yeah, but he got rewarded the last 2 years because of that. Embiid is now getting rewarded this year. Embiid's going to win the MVP, and I'll still go back to what I've said before. Giannis, to me, is the best player in the game. Embiid is having a wonderful season. We'll take a break. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Pauly, but it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice. And you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
This feels like it'd be a Friday song, Marv.
This song was everywhere in 2004. Everywhere. You couldn't escape it.
Especially my house.
And this started because of Caitlin Clark somehow, that we were saying that you love a song until it's overplayed, and now there's going to be the overcoverage of Caitlin Clark next year.
Yes,
how this started? Okay.
Exactly.
All right, just letting people know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're not calling her a one-hit wonder, and she's not overrated. She's overcovered. All right, let me see. Dave in Laguna Beach. Hi, Dave. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Dan. I know a little off topic today, but a couple quick things. Pitch clock. Last two Sundays, I'm out in spring training, go to a Cubs game, 105 start, beautiful sunny day in Scottsdale, an area you know well and appreciate. Game's over at 3 o'clock. Feel like I got gypped out of an hour in the beautiful sun. Same thing last Sunday at Petco Park. Game's over in about 2 hours and 10 minutes. With all the parking, the concession lines, typically I like to sit for a few hours and then do about three or four innings, do a little lap around the stadium, and then come back. And
Dave, you're saying the games are too fast.
Well, you know what? When you're there on a beautiful, sunny Sunday afternoon, there is a huge drawback to a game being over in about 2 hours and 15 minutes. You feel like you got gypped out of an hour.
All right. Well, I didn't know we would get backlash or that kind of backlash, but now can you imagine the teams? Because the teams want you there longer at the ballpark to spend more money. And I wonder what concessions will be. How much money are they going to make compared to previous years? Because if the games go shorter, you start to do the math, and how many hours are you taking away from you at the ballpark buying something? Yeah, Paul.
What if concessions were open for 2 hours and 15 minutes after first pitch? And then whatever the inning is, the inning is. Because, I mean, that's arbitrary, the inning. They could be, you know, if the game was long, it could be.
Well, I'm going to keep it open the whole time.
You think it's going to be till nine innings now?
Well, I don't think they could do beer, but I'm talking about everything else. But I'm wondering what this is going to do. Let's say the games are 30 minutes less. So you start to do the math, you know, 250 hours maybe that you're not going to be buying something because the game is going to be over with. And I don't know if owners are going to be like, how do we offset that? How do we make up that lost revenue from, you know, the previous years here? Rich in North Carolina. Hi, Rich. What's on your mind today?
Dan, how are you doing today?
First good, buddy.
Time, long time.
Yep.
6'2", 225. Want to go back to the Masters. It's the greatest week of the year. And I want to get your take on why there's such a high level of animosity between the two tours. Because the way I look at it is, if you're working with somebody and they go on to a better job for better benefits, better pay, whatever, you wish them luck. I don't understand why
But they're trying to take away from your tour, your job. They're trying to hurt the PGA Tour. They want nothing better than to take down the PGA Tour. It's not that they're just going to the LIV Tour. They want to go and get money, but they also want to be able to be eligible to play in these events. And that's the difference. Greg Norman has made no secret of the fact that he's adversarial. He does it, and he detests the PGA Tour. And the players got their money. But if you went for the money, then you shouldn't be worried about playing in these majors. You went for the money. And what they're going to do is make sure you don't qualify, have enough points to be able to be a part of Ryder Cup teams or play in the majors. Now, the Masters, they play by their own rules, but that's probably what's going to happen here. And then we're going to find these players. And I mean, you don't think about these players on the LIV Tour. I mean, Brooks Koepka, would love to see him on PGA Tour. Dustin Johnson or Cam Smith. I mean, did anybody see Brooks Koepka's win last year or last week? And the answer is no, you didn't. But, you know, that's the difference here. PGA Tour is adapting. You know, I know Phil Mickelson wants to take credit, which is like you start a fire and then you want to get credit for putting it out. PGA Tour players will benefit here, the LIV Tour players. And if one wins at Augusta, that doesn't mean like, yes, that's a win for the LIV Tour. You spent hundreds of millions of dollars on these players. They should be good. If not, there should be consequences. Like, you know what? If you don't perform at a certain level, then we'll get rid of you. And you're spending so much money. I mean, Phil Mickelson, reportedly, $200 million. I'd wear the logo, too. But I wouldn't say anything. I wouldn't be complaining about not being able to play on the PGA Tour. I'd just say, I got my money. You want to play 54 holes every event? You want to have loud music and wear shorts? You can smoke cigars, wear sombreros. I don't care. Because you're irrelevant now. And that's unfortunate. Because I'd love to see Cam Smith, who is playing, he's in his prime. And I'd love to see him be able to compete against these other players. But they chose. They chose the money. And I don't begrudge you. You want to go make more money? Good for you. Just don't come back. This day in sports history, Paulie.
Hey, guys. In 1965, do you guys remember what the penalty flag, the color of the penalty flags was? Anyone?
Red.
White. They used to throw white laundry on the field, and then it was changed to bright gold in 1965.
Hmm.
I wonder why.
Hmm.
Easier to find from the stands, I guess. 1967, Wilt Chamberlain set an NBA playoff record with 41 rebounds in a game.
Kareem and he did it against the Celtics. He did it against Bill Russell.
In 84, Kareem broke Wilt's record of regular season scoring, 31-419.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1999, one of my favorite stats, Barry Bonds was intentionally walked for the 270th time in his career, passing Hank Aaron. 270 was the all-time record at that time. Where did Barry Bonds finish with total intentional walks in his career? Anyone?
500.
688.
688?
That is over a season of at-bats where he did not get to swing at the ball. If you look at his number, 8% of his time he hit home runs, you would tack on another 55 home runs to his record.
He would have hit over 800 home
runs. That's right.
Yeah. On this date, 1989, Oral Hershiser's streak of 59 consecutive scoreless innings comes to an end in the first inning of a loss to the Cincinnati Reds. All right, let's go around the room. What we learned on the program. Todd, I'll start with you.
Joel Embiid gets the bulk of the attention, but shout out to teammate James Harden understanding his role and doing it well these days.
Yes, yes. I do think that he has been admirable this year. 21-11, and maybe it's a different playoff James Harden. Seton O'Connor.
According to Mike Tirico, the people at Augusta National are very nice.
If he would have said, you know, they're really mean people. They're not nice at all. That would have been interesting.
You know, they kind of think they're a big
deal.
Yeah.
Hey, Marv.
Todd hates regular season rematches.
Yeah. Paulie?
Sharif Abdul-Rahim.
Sharif Abdul-Rahim. Discover credit cards. Do something pretty awesome at the end of the first year. They automatically double the cash back. You've earned cash back from trips and restaurants all doubled. Check out the terms and see for yourself. Discover.com/match. Talk to you tomorrow.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there. Put on your game face. Download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.